Luke chapter 23, verse 34a. This is the word of God. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. O Father, grant us an ear to hear your voice through your word. If your spirit is not working in us, then all this is just waste of time. So Father, we pray that your spirit will work in us, make us understand and believe and obey. O Father, we pray that as we hear your word, that all of us, your people who are hearing of your word, will be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible records seven sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross, dying for his people. So today and the next six Lord's Supper, Lord's Days, we will look at those seven sayings. No one is absolutely sure the actual sequence of those sayings, but we will look at them in the following order. Today, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Second, truly I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. Third, woman, behold your son, behold your mother. Fourth, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, or Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And fifth, I am thirsty. Sixth, it is finished. And seventh, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. So let us look at the first one. Father, forgive them, or forgive their sins, for they do not know what they are doing. The first utterance of our Lord Jesus when he was dying up on the cross. What is he doing first? Well, he prays. He prays for the sinners. As he is being crucified, he prays for those sinners who are crucifying him. 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. The cross. It is here we have the perfect picture of God's love towards his people. Look at the cross and see how far God's love made him to go. That his love made him to come as a man and die. You know, we hear this so often that maybe you're not astonished anymore. But if you really think about it, what does it mean that God dies? Or God even becoming a man. If you were to become a cockroach, it is ridiculous. But God becoming a man is more ridiculous than that. But not only that, he dies for us. How far did his love make him to go? The question is, how far will your love for him make you to go? This prayer is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong. Because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. Even today, he is praying for his people. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25b, he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. For they do not know what they are doing. A clear picture of the darkness of the hearts of the sinners. Sin that you commit in ignorance is still sin. The darkness is the heart of a sinner. The Bible describes a sinner as a blind. Isaiah's description of sinful state of man, Isaiah 59, verse 9 and 10, therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness, for brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. Jeremiah's description of sinful state of man, chapter 4, verse 23, I looked on the earth and behold, it was formless and void, and to the heavens, and they had no light. And he was not looking at the physical earth. He was looking at the sinful state of Israel. He describes that state with the same words that we see in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Formless and void and dark, darkness. Total depravity. Total corruption. The darkness. Unless God, who is the true light, comes and shines on the darkness of the heart, a sinner will always suppress the truth in unrighteousness. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. And this is the state of a sinful world. The wage of sin is death. All deserve to die forever. All deserve to be abandoned by God forever. All deserve to receive the eternal wrath of God. And you must die forever for your sins. That's the fact. But look in our passage. It is you who must die for your sins, but who is dying instead of you? Who is dying in your place? And who in your place is being abandoned by God? Who in your place is receiving the eternal wrath of God? Who in your place is receiving the eternal punishment of hell? This is the gospel, that he is dying in your place, dying for your sins. He says, Father, forgive them. Jesus Christ our Lord is speaking of the forgiveness of sins. He is dying on the cross for the sins of his people. And he is paying the wage of his people's sin. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12, but he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. The John the Baptist says, he points to Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. During the Last Supper, Jesus says, as he gives the cup to the disciples, Matthew 26, 28, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. All those who believe that Christ has died for their sins on the cross and that he lived a perfect life for them, they have the forgiveness of sins from God and the eternal life with God in heaven. Acts chapter 2 verse 38 says, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's paying for your sins so that your sins can be forgiven. Now, what kind of forgiveness is God's forgiveness? Isaiah 38, verse 17b, it is you, God, who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. Psalm 103 verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Psalm 103 verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. If you understand how far the east is from the west, that's how far God removed your sins from you. God's forgiveness of your sins is perfect forgiveness. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 17 says, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. When God forgives you, he doesn't remember it anymore. And you don't have to either. Jesus here says, Father, forgive them. Up to that point, Jesus Christ has forgiven his people's sin by himself. For example, chapter 7, verse 48, then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. But here, instead of forgiving his people's sin by himself, he asked the Father to forgive them. He is taking our place. He has bore our sins. He is identifying himself with us, the sinners. He takes place of the one who received the wrath of God for his sins. And here, as Jesus asks the Father to forgive their sins, those people who are killing him, we see that the new era has come, the new beginning has come. Because in the Old Testament, this is what we read in Psalm 69. Let me read to you verse 22. May their table before them become a snare, and when they are in peace, may it become a trap. May their eyes grow dim so that they cannot see, and make their loins shake continually. Pour out your indignation on them, and may your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be desolate. May none dwell in their tents, for they have persecuted him whom you yourself have smitten, and they tell the pain of those who you have wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and may they not come into your righteousness. May they be blotted out of the book of life, and may they not be recorded with the righteous. You curse your enemy, you hate your enemy. But now, as we see Jesus dying on the cross, the new era has come. New ethics, the ethics of heaven is being taught by Jesus Christ. Love your enemies. And this is exactly what our Lord Jesus Christ has done. Bible says we were his enemies. And he loved us. And we are called to imitate him. We are to love our enemy. Actually, you don't know whether that person is your enemy or not. You don't know that that person is elect or not. What if that person, however bad he is at this time, by God's grace, becomes a brother 5 years from now, 10 years from now? You are to love your enemies, because that enemy might be your forever brother in heaven. You never know until Jesus returns. Yes, when Jesus returns, he's not going to tell us to love our enemies who are in hell. Yeah, that stops. But not until then. Do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? They are brothers. As you know, Cain kills Abel. The blood is shed. The blood of Abel. Genesis chapter 4 verse 10 says, the voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. The blood of Abel speaks vengeance. But Hebrews chapter 12 verse 24b says, the sprinkled blood of Jesus, which speaks better than the blood of Abel. Then what does the blood of Jesus speak? It speaks of the forgiveness. The forgiveness of our sins by God. You have been invited to live the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us forgive one another and speak of God's forgiveness of our sins through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 7, verse 60, Stephen, as being stoned to death, he says to God, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Do you see it? He imitates Jesus. He lives the very life that Jesus has lived. Even as he's being stoned to death, he asks God to forgive their sins. And all of us are called to participate in that life. Luke chapter 6, verse 27 through 29, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. And whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Matthew 5, verse 43 to 48, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. God commands us to be like him. He loved his enemies, you and me. Brothers and sisters, amazing grace has come upon us. Forgiveness of God has been given to you. Really doesn't matter how much you have sinned. It is an arrogance to say that your sin is so bad that even Jesus' blood cannot take care of it. That's arrogance. There is no sin that Jesus cannot cleanse. Brothers and sisters, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's promise to you. As you participate in the Lord's Supper, as you receive cup from God, remember what your Lord has said. Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. That's why he died. For the forgiveness of your sins. And that's the gospel. That God forgives his people's sins because Jesus died for those sins. All you have to do is believe. Actually, that is the only way to receive the forgiveness of sins, to believe. Brothers and sisters, and some of you who do not believe yet, believe that Jesus died for your sins, and that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ. All of your sins. And He does not remember anymore. We're completely free from our sins in Jesus Christ. No, I'm not saying when we sin, don't even feel guilty. No, we feel guilty and we repent. But as soon as we repent, we understand and believe that that sin has been taken care of. That Jesus died for that sin, and that sin is forgiven. This is the love of God. This is grace of God. Yes, you might thinking, you know, my sin is so great. Yes, my sin is so great also. No one is able to say that I'm better than, you know, someone else. When you come to the table, see what He has done. In those elements, you are to see His broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. He has died for your sins. He has paid your sins in full. God will not even remember your sins. Thus, brothers and sisters, let us repent of our sins and believe that our sins have been forgiven by God. As you see what He has done for you, give Him all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Heavenly